to them is a valid need. You know, it is a valid need. For me, I ain't giving you $100. What do you mean? Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing though. However, if he had come to me and say, you know this man of God, do you know anytime he's going to preach, he treks. He has to take a bike, go to the bus station. It's real to me. You know, I can feel it. Because I don't do that. I was coming from, I would travel today, well, some of my kids and my wife and I. When we got to a particular rough area, I was feeling sorry for those inside commercial buses. Why? Because my own glass, poof, everything wound up, AC on, my children were sleeping at the back, and I was driving a car that does not quench on the road. So as the buses were, and that area was dusty. And as I was raising dust, everybody was raising dust, and I saw people inside commercial, you know, Peace Mass Transit, you know, dust on their faces. I was feeling bad. I told my wife, people are suffering. Look at this. As if I didn't do this a few years ago. You know that kind of thing. Honestly, to me, it worries me if a pastor is going to preach in Port Harcourt from Enugu and he has to go to the park. I will get concerned. I tell me, Susan is going to preach. Where? He's going to the park. He's going to the park. I didn't know taxes. God, that is expensive. Honest, you tell me that, I will dip my hand in my pocket. I will say, here to Port Harcourt is not more than 15,000. Give him. Don't give him. He may just go and pay bus and collect the balance. I'm telling you. Call the taxi man. Give him the money. Tell him to go and meet that man. Tell him to wait there. When the man is finished preaching, drive him back and come and collect your return fare from me. I will do that because I feel the need is what? Genuine. I am not going to sow a $100 seed to buy a 65 million naira jet. Is it because it's bad? No. It's just because the need is not real to me. Are you getting my point? I know I know it's there. Some people are angry that time. How can anyone want to buy a jet? I say he had one before. Why are you talking like if he just woke up one day, say me too, I want a jet? He had one. He just said that the thing is faulty and I want to replace it. And my God is not a poor God. And my God is a God of abundance. So I'm going to buy the best. People, they vex. Me, I know they vex. It doesn't annoy me. The only thing that upsets me is if you say, I should bring money, I won't give you. But if somebody tells me that, six of our guys will go together and give that brother $50 million, I will not say, where there are poor people, no. The need is real to them. If you tell Dangote now that you missed a critical business meeting because Eric canceled flight, he will stop doing business with you. Some people don't know. You think everybody has your problems? If you and Dangote have a deal on the refinery in Lagos, he brought people from Germany, people from France, to go have a meeting. They already cancel your flight. Forget that business. He's throwing you out of the deal. Do you know what you are costing him by the fact that already canceled your flight? Each day those men are here, he's spending tens of thousands of dollars. Why don't you just call Aerocon, what do you call it? Carverton. Call Carverton. They'll bring a helicopter, ferry you to come out for the meeting. When they are done, you give them $20,000, they go home. Yes. No. You can't come and be telling him, Eric canceled your flight. Do you know how much he's losing? Just by the way, we're just gisting, all right? So we know what's going on in this life. Some people think that everybody is poor. Not everybody is poor. A lot of people are very busy. They say, Dangote said the reason why he does not use a private jet to go to China is that he cannot wait for his pilots to finish sleeping. Otherwise, China is too far. That's the only place he flies commercial to. And each time those men go to a place like US, $20 million disappears. Naira, sorry, not dollars. In fuel money. So people like him, anyway, two or three people like that are here this evening. Amen. And when I need my own Gulfstream, you will buy it. For you that time, it will be a real need. Yes. Emeka, have you heard? Pastor came last time. He was delayed at the airport and I flew first class. And you're angry. Can you imagine? He had to be checked into the international hotel to sleep overnight. This is annoying. I And for you to be very annoyed because you can't remember what last happened to you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Back to our teacher. What am I trying to say? If the need is real to you, are you getting my point? Don't worry about the prophecy behind it. That's what I'm trying to explain. If the need is not real to you, leave them alone. Connecting to a prophetic word by giving to a need you don't understand is a waste of time. The woman, the Shunammite woman, did not even know Elisha was going to prophesy a child into her life. She just said, "This is a holy man of God that is passing by us every day. What are we going to do for him? Let us make him a room so that when he's passing by, he can sleep in comfort." These were rich people. Let's put a table there. And that's what they did. And it happened that every time Elisha would come into town, that became his new lodging place. He was sure of room, food, and where to lay his head. They gave him the best accommodation they could afford. She was not looking for anything. The day the man came and said, what do you want us to do for you? You know what she said? Nothing. You want more money? No. She would talk to the chief of police? No. What am I saying? She did that for Elisha without any desire for any reward. Yet the prophet said, no, we must do something. Let me not finish the rest of the story. We all know most of the rest of it. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. How is it that we will not... I began this time to explain the culture of Christians. That's why how Christians behave. We don't have going to all this investigation of, is the man genuine? That is, did he really... Did God really speak to him that if I give, he will multiply? God said, listen, I don't need that. You know, I don't need to tell anybody. Take your Bible and read. All right? Make giving a habit. Make giving a habit. When you see a genuine need, please flow something towards it. And you see, let me tell you something about giving again. It's as your faith increases. You understand? That your ability to respond to things increase. And that's why you must always build up your faith. Your faith is built up. You understand that, listen, it is not what I have that will solve my problems. It is God that will solve my problems. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. So if I have money and I see a problem the money can solve. You know, there are times you look at your problem. Your money can't solve it. Yeah, you don't know. You have a need that's going to cost like $300,000 to meet. All the money you have is $30,000. You don't need the spirit to tell you that that money is not for that problem. No, there are some common sense operations in spiritual things. You are there, you are praying. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. This need has to be met. You are the great supplier. And so the man who's supposed to help you do the work, maybe in our construction work, the man now arrives and gives you the bill. You look at the bill. You start laughing. The man says, it was funny. You're just laughing. How much? $850,000. You're laughing. Guys, why are you laughing? I'm laughing in the spirit, you know. I've been seeing that out of my 30,000 naira, there is no way you are bringing 850 out of it. You know what God, I just said to you? That need is not going to be met by your 30,000 naira. The 30,000 naira on you is for another need. It's simple. So while you are sitting down there still thinking, a young man now comes. I say, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. I say, oh, what's going on? I'm supposed to go to school tomorrow, but I won't go yet. I'll go next week. I say, why are you not going tomorrow? I don't want to go yet. I'll just go next week. Why are you not going tomorrow? It's just that it's better if I go next week. You know, this when an adult is telling you like that, he doesn't want to tell you the real reason. You now sit him down and say, tell me, what's going on? I say, actually, sir, you know, my dad is late. My mother is the one that's supposed to pay the money, but my younger brother he has to pay his WASC fees and this and that. All the money she has been used up. She's just hoping that before now, during our next week, she'll be able to borrow some money to send me off to school. How much is school fees? 28,000. Bam! 28,000. You now start laughing. Ha ha ha! So the boy says, sir, why are you laughing, sir? Say, I'm laughing in the spirit. You Another the guy, oh, okay, see me, just can you come back in an hour? When I finish, you see me in the house. You go there, you count the 30,000, you give it 20, no, you give me 20,000, give another 500 naira on it. So this one for transport. Make sure, you now start speaking like a big brother. Tomorrow I want to see you in school. Do you understand? Yes, sir. I'll go to school, sir. Yes, sir. How we go? So next week is not better again. No, no, no. Next week. Tomorrow. I mean, we have test on Wednesday. You know what you have done? You have fulfilled the scripture that says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That money was given to you to solve that boy's problem. Now listen to this. This is where the problem is. Because you understood this. And remember you were praying. Remember, you were casting all your cares upon the Lord. When the workman came and gave you a bill of 850,000, you took that money. Spiritual understanding told you, this money is not, because just common sense, it cannot be for this one. God must have another way by which he wants to meet this need. So now tell the man, don't worry, between now and next week, we should be able to start work. So the man says, okay, I'll be back next week, sir. When you said that, you were trusting God totally. Your whole faith was in God. And what is the manifestation of that? That when God sent a young man to come and collect the resources for the day, you gave to the day, are you getting my point? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You self-sorted that evil that day with the money available. That is how your faith spoke that day. That faith being so strong will bring the 850 necessary before that week is over. Now, this is where the problem is. Somebody will not, you not tell a story. Someone will say, do you know what happened? He sowed a seed on Monday. It was not a seed. Are you getting what I'm saying? All that happened was that you realized that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It was a manifestation of your faith. And that faith, because it is strong, it produces results. Some people don't know what happened. They're not saying, how much do we need in this house? Your wife says 1.5 million. How much do we have in the account? He say 100,000. Go and bring 100,000. Bring it. Because what this man of God told me that time was that when he sowed a seed of 50,000, God gave him 850. So we are going to sow a seed of 100. Are you getting my point? Then the guy now sows a seed of 100. And he starts waiting. First week, nothing. Second week, nothing. Third week, nothing. Fourth week, nothing. So this Pastor Murphy was telling lies. What he doesn't realize that he wasn't telling lies. He wasn't. But he did what he did for a different reason. He did not sow his seed the way you are sowing yours. He understood that God is the supplier. And because he understood that God is the supplier, he did the work for the day. It's one of the cultures of Christianity. We don't worry about tomorrow. We don't worry. It's not as if we live carelessly. Let me just say something. It's not as if they give you 1 million and say, Pastor Mark, say, don't worry tomorrow. Let's go to Akigwe. That's where the suya is good. So you carry all your friends, drive to Akigwe, say, bring suya. Yeah, sit down. So why? Pastor Banky said, don't worry about tomorrow. So you take a millionaire, you spend eating suya. Let me tell you what the Bible calls such a person. He's a foolish man. That's the only way I can describe it. Foolish man. He has met no need. He has fed his lust. Not worrying about tomorrow is not the reason why we now start feeding our lusts. A man comes and says, I'm not worried about tomorrow. So today you see him using a Galaxy Note. Note 4. Then he sees your phone. Oh boy, which one is that one? iPhone 6S. Sir, do you have money for that one? You know me, I don't worry about tomorrow. Then goes to the market, he buys an iPhone 6S. So he's shining. Why? He's not worried about tomorrow. Then his friends are going to, what happened? Oh, Angela is marrying in London. Hey, I don't have the money. But I'm not worried about tomorrow. So he takes the money and flies to London for a wedding that does not concern him. Why? He's not worried about tomorrow. He's an idiot. Amen? He's not walking by faith. This is a man who is twisting the scripture to service his own lust. When we are using this, I'm not worried about tomorrow. We are taking the need of the day. It's the need that we are solving with the resources of today. That is the sign that we are not concerned about tomorrow. So you get home. The children said that, mommy, it's only rice this evening. There's no egg. You now say, no. Don't worry. You know, school is opening in 2 months' time. So I'm saving money for your fees. Children are getting malnourished. You are saving money for the fees that is not due for the next 2 months. That is when you are worried about tomorrow. When we say, don't be worried about tomorrow, we say, children, no. You must eat a balanced diet. You feed them for today. Then they tell that, no, one of their friends came home with them. He doesn't have food. He doesn't have clothes. Yet their own fees, all right, will be due in 2 months' time. Then you feed that other fellow and clothe him even though you don't have much. Then you get a call. Maybe in your church, they are doing something. They have a program. They are having a special program. They are bringing a minister. It's going to be a nice program. The good word of the Lord is going to be taught. People are going to be encouraged. And they say, the total bill is this amount of money. Then you say, me, I don't have any money. You know, my children are opening school in 2 months' time. You are worried about tomorrow. That when you go there and say, I don't have much money. All I have to contribute is this 2,000 naira. Maybe the total budget is 1 million. As far as you are concerned, what I can afford is 2,000. You put in the envelope, put in the offering basket towards that program. And then you relax. That's not worrying about tomorrow. You are solving today's problems today. Not feeding your lust today. Some people, they want to twist what you have said. You see a young boy, he's wearing shoes that his grandfather has never seen before. You go home, he has never bought shoes for anybody. He's shining. Where's your savings account? What's a Christian doing saving? But what's a Christian doing living lavishly? He twists the scriptures. Why? Because of his own loss. Because of his loss, he twists the scriptures. He buys gold. Or usually it's the she that buys the gold. You understand my point? She buys gold and 6 months, she's paying. That's one of the ways you make sure that you can't do good to other people in life. It's a sign of unbelief. Your faith is not going to work. You're going to be broke one day. You budget yourself tight. You bought shoes that a pair will have bought for 15 other people. Is it bad? No. How can it be bad? If you can afford it. Except that you have been paying for 3 months. I've told you, any shoe you are paying for 3 months is beyond your size. No, let's, culture of Christianity. One culture that we don't pay for mundane things for 3 months. You buy shirt, third month you are still paying for blouse. You should know that it's not your size. There are blouses 1/4 that price that you pay once. Sir, I will look cheap. You are cheap anyway. You are paying money for 4 months on this thing. How do you want to look expensive when you don't have money? You know, human beings are funny. You know, you feel comfortable wearing a shirt you haven't paid for 3 months. Oh boy, I've told you, just go and buy one nice high polyester gray, 60% polyester, 40% cotton, white shirt. Buy two. You know why I like them? You wash them in the evening, by morning they don't dry. I don't like this film, it's straight. You are shining all the time. And those shirts are annoyingly very, very inexpensive. The ones that they color with tea after 1 year are the ones that cost 10 times that price. Because they are 100% cotton. When you wear them, they stand properly. Your skin can breathe through it. What is your skin doing breathing? Lift it up and fan it. Some people, you'll be learning the culture of rich people. Look, there are some things we don't use faith for. You get my point? These are things that are added onto us. You know what I use faith for? We don't claim them by faith. Material things, we let God add them. That's what I mean. It's not that we don't, of course, everything is by faith. But we don't stress ourselves for those things. Those days when I was in Lagos, I like to tell my story. I liked shirts. Fine. I mean, some of you know me. I like to wear good quality things. I mean, I've always been like that, you know. But the good Lord gave me good sense. I would go to Lagos, Mandela's that time. We knew the place behind where they sell the very, what they call grade A used shirts. Good quality, $500. And you get back to work, you spray starch and like this, you'll be shining. All the babes go, they look like this, my God, this guy is too fine. They won't know that. I won't lie to you, I lived my life like that all the years I was in Lagos. Ask my wife. But I remember when I first came to Enugu. By that time, I was not a specialist. Pay had improved. Things were better. There was a particular job I did one day. I said, I told my wife, I want to go and buy shirts. I went to Benin. I went to forestry. Went to the shop where they were selling 100% top quality Van Heusens. I point, give me that one, that one, that one. Different colors. I still saw some of the pictures the other day. Wore the thing. Put my tie. I said, God, thank you. Each of those shares at that time was costing 10 times what I used to pay before. But the season had changed. The season had changed. Before, my shares were 300 to 500 naira. That time, each one of these ones, I bought 5,000. Till today, if you pay 5,000 for a shirt, you know how much? You know it's an expensive shirt. And I'm telling you, the year 2001 was when I did that. 14 years ago. I bought one shirt, 5,000. I bought like three or four at the same time. Walked out of the shop and I felt like, yes, God is good. But the season had changed. I like to tell this story all the time. The first time, you know, of course, when I first started chasing this woman that I married, you know, chasing her up and down, chase this with, you know, chasing her up and down. Finally, I caught her. And I said, with this ring, I did give engagement. You know, that kind of thing. I gave her a ring to wear. My friend Donna followed me to the market to buy 300 naira. I bought the ring. $300 was what I bought the ring. Lagos, Tejusho Market. Eventually, after running and me blocking her, finally she collected the ring and wore it. And this young woman wore the ring for a long time. Months after we were married, she was still wearing the ring. I bought it for 300 naira. Why do I like to tell this story? Because a few years after, maybe 4 or 5 years after, one day was her birthday. I said, let me buy you rings. And I paid 50,000 naira for two. She still has one of them. Somebody stole the other one. Yeah, I'm serious. I paid 50,000 naira for two. From 300 naira to 25,000 naira for a ring. Gone are the days of buying ring for 300 naira because that's all I could afford. Once I was coming from the US, after I got to Dubai International, I checked my pocket, my luggage had been checked in. I said, okay, I still have $100. I went to the ring counter. How much is that ring? $85. I gave them the money, collected it. Gone are the days of buying ring for 300 naira because that's all I can afford. But in its season, it fetched me a wife. One day I was preaching somewhere. One foolish girl. I told this story. The whole place erupted. And the Holy Spirit just turned my head. I knew it was the Holy Spirit. I was just looking at her that time as she turned to her friends and said, I won't take it. It was a big hall. Many people there. She was sitting somewhere towards the back. And I answered, I said, oh, you won't take it. Let me tell you the other things you will not take. I said, when my wife delivered my first son, Akinlu, I said, I walked to the car shop in Benin and I picked a fresh Tokumbo BMW and bought it for her and dropped it in the house. That's another thing you will not take. I said, I began to tell her, I'm a dedicated husband. No other woman can attract me. I've been married this year, will make 16 years. Those are the things you will not take. You will reject it because the ring is 300 naira. You are lucky I didn't tie a rope on your hand. I'm telling you the truth. I've had friends who wedded before. When they said, let's exchange vow, people say, hey, no ring. They borrow the ring inside the hall. Nah, but give me that your ring. After the wedding, we'll give you back. Like I keep on saying, look, you have to be wise, all right? I like to always use this illustration. Fola Adeola, many of you know Fola Adeola. The founding MD of GT Bank used to hawk oranges in Yaba. Don't ever forget that story. One of my friends was telling me he wanted to sell a house, and his younger brother that he made rich was pricing the house for 450 million naira. I said, I asked my friend Mike, what are they planning to do with the house? He said they want to live in it. I said, eh? It's not an office structure. No, it's a residential duplex. But it's near the water. So when they open the door, the breeze from the ocean blows in their face. You know, you go down and you say, eh, praise God. Yeah, that was a man he made rich, not him himself. Yet as a young boy, he used to hawk oranges. That day when I was preaching, the Holy Spirit just helped me see that young woman. She did like this to her friends. I won't take it. I said, look at you. Who wants to give yourself? You're not even happy somebody's offering you. Only a man of substance will have the boldness to offer you a 300 naira ring and not feel bad. Okay, take. This is all I have. The Lord is good. My message for today, we'll preach next week. Those of you who came with these money issues on your heart, I hope I answered your questions. I hope I helped you. Honestly, if you were around the last time I preached, I said I was going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 5. I finished the message, I didn't read it. So today I said, okay, let me start with them again. Now the message has ended. I have not even opened my Bible. And it's not my fault, it's your fault. Your fault. The person knows, those who know who is their fault, they know what I'm talking about. All right? But please, I will try my best to preach my message next time. But let's just start it now, though I won't preach it. Just let it just be that I read the Bible. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul said from verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. Please notice the word, judge. Who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. That's, I'm charging you by these things. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers and all of that. He said, but you, verse 5, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Please let me say this again. I'm going to jump a few verses to connect two verses together. He said, I solemnly charge you, verse 1, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. He said, I'm charging you to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. He now said, be sober in all things, endure hardship, that is, preach the word, be ready in another season, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. All of these things I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is going to judge you on how you did these things. He said, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He said in verse 7, I have fought the fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now this, let me just read verses 9 and 10 because it's interesting. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, had deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And the other people have gone to different places. Now let me just say this. This was why what I wanted to preach today before the Holy Spirit just dragged me in that direction. And I believe we were blessed by the exhortations. What I was trying to bring out is that remember what our religion is as Christians. We have been talking about the fact that the essence of culture is religion. That is, what we believe in our hearts is what decides how we behave outwardly. And I'm trying to emphasize that Christianity affects your outward behavior. And this kingdom life is talking about our outward behavior. And today we ended up speaking about money matters and how our faith affects our outward behavior. Now, so what is our religion? What's our faith? We've already established it. I said our religion is love for God, love for people. We live for the future, not in this time dispensation, but for a life after now. Knowing that we will give account. I want you to understand. I said our religion shows that we are going to give account for how we live our life now. And this account is before our righteous judge, which you just read about now, in that 2 Timothy chapter 4. And that righteous judge is currently teaching us his standards of living. We believe in preaching the kingdom of God, knowing that we are servants of him who said to us, be occupied until I come. Occupy with this until I come. We love one another and we have respect for the rules of his kingdom and all of those things. Now, and we are people led by Christ's Spirit. Grace and truth we have to be able to obey the word and instruction of God for our life, for our lives. Those are the things that constitute our religion. We've been talking about it. So these things affect our lives. What I wanted to bring out today is to bring out, of course, I hope we'll be able to do it next time. Because I've been trying it for the last two sessions now. Is to explain to Christians how our understanding of the fact that we are going to stand before Jesus Christ, our judge, how it affects our everyday living. That's what I want to explain. That's why I read this, that Paul said that I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. You must understand that we one day will give account of our lives before God. Sometimes people are making decisions in their lives. One of our brothers and I, we've been speaking much over the last few days on how people just make decisions. They make decisions that make it appear as if God created them just to go and have comfort in life. That is a very, very, very bad thing for a Christian to do. That's a stupid thing. You ask somebody, why are you moving your family? It's very common. This is a man and woman will stay in Nigeria. No, man will stay in Nigeria. Wife and children will go to Canada. Canada is the reigning thing. You know, America, visa lottery stopped like 2 years ago. Now, Canada is still open, so everybody's going in that direction. Like I say, it's difficult to judge the things of another person from outside. God knows how he's leading each person. But please, you can go to Canada, you can go to Australia, you can be in Switzerland, you can be in Enugu here with us, you can be in Sokoto with Pastor Courage, you can move to Maiduguri, you can do anyone. But just know one thing. One day, you are going to stand before the judge, all right, of his people, and explain to him why you did that. That's all I want to say. You know what Paul said to Timothy? Just now he said, endure hardship. You know what we preach this is? Run away from hardship. What did he say? Endure. He didn't say enjoy. People think that being a Christian means you enjoy hardship. Bros, if I don't have enough food to eat, I will praise God despite not having enough food to eat. But I will not enjoy not having enough food to eat. And God doesn't expect me to enjoy it. God says that, okay, I set before you enough food and not enough food. He thinks I'm crazy if I go for not enough food. That's what I mean by he doesn't expect me to enjoy it. However, if he says, I set before you, fulfill your destiny and don't fulfill your destiny. But when you see fulfill your destiny, the food is not plenty. He expects that I will endure the little food that I might fulfill my destiny. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
It's about endurance. Sometimes when people speak, they speak in a manner, you know, that will judge them. They say to you, I can't endure hardship. They say, what are you doing in that country where they're always taking, Nepal is always taking light? It's stupid talk. If you are listening to this from out of Nigeria, it's very stupid talk. I want you to know it. You've just told me it's hardship. We know it's hardship. Who doesn't know it's hardship? But I've been instructed by God to do what? Endure it. You can't tell me, what are you doing there? Don't talk down. You should respect me for it. You should know that there must be something that you're doing that's making you tolerate this when you have an option. I used to give my friend Pastor Courage as an example. You think he didn't have where to go. That's why he's in Sokoto. Tell him, where's your passport? He'll give you a Nigerian one and a British one. So why is he in a place where to stay alive he prays every Tuesday? Obviously, there is an assignment. Obviously, there is faith in something. That's why it's enduring hardship. You know, a lot of us, we think that those who do some of this, they don't have options. They do. They do. I like to drop his story once in a while to let Christians know what we're talking about. If he's going abroad, going to the US, going to, what they call it, going to UK, he doesn't need a visa. He does not need a visa. None of his children need a visa to go to any of these Commonwealth countries. Christians speak as if after this life, God will now say, oh, my son, you have come home. Look at how fat you are looking. That's how we behave. I don't have time to preach that one today. I want us to close now. But I want you to bear it in mind. They are always snapping light off where you are. It's not the reason why you run away. Why? Because Christians are supposed to do what? Endure hardship. You know, sometimes when you hear people already say, how can I die your country? They talk. It's very annoying. Nobody talks to me like that. I hear it through third person report. This person said, I'll tell you why people stay in places that sometimes they don't enjoy. Because they are true Christians. Because they are true believers. They endure things. Sometimes you see, when you go to the West, Nigerians are learning it also. Every little thing, marriage has broken down. Why? For 4 straight years, he didn't remember my birthday. God punish you. Your birthday. Go and ask the living things of those days. When they tell their wives bye-bye, that's 3 years. I'm serious. When they tell their wives bye-bye, it's 3 years. They get to Africa, write a letter, 6 months before the woman reads the letter, before he reads the reply. Because to get to England, 3 months. Assuming they deliver it immediately and she replies immediately, that's another 3 months before he reads the reply to a letter he wrote in January. It is June. A man now didn't remember your best days. And it's cause of quarrel in the house. It was my birthday a few days ago. One of our, a man that has become a friend now, a minister and his wife, they invited us to come to Lagos. Say I should choose any date. Between 4th and the following weekend. Everything in my mind says 4th. But you know the natural human thing. 4th is your birthday now. You be at home. Let us celebrate. I told my wife, now kingdom matter will they talk here. Nobody's going to hang around celebrating birthday when there's preaching to be done. I'm going to say, it's my son's birthday, you know, so I can't go and preach this weekend. Oh boy, we'll postpone your birthday. I will give birth to you next week. Don't worry. Honestly, that's what I wanted to teach today. We must live our lives like we understand that one day we are going to do what? Give account. One day we are going to give account. That's what I'm saying. We must learn to endure difficulty. What is the big deal in the fact that your mates are driving a car you don't have? These things are not going to go to heaven, literally. When you go to heaven, you know, it will be like, my dear Lord, my mates played with toys for 3 seconds. I didn't play with the toys. That's how it will sound in heaven. All the countries you want to see, that's deciding which man you marry now. When you get to heaven, the place will be like ghetto. I don't know whether I get my point. You will look back from heaven at Switzerland. It will be like, people live there. How are they coping? And you will see that they were there for only 2 seconds, what you call a lifetime. You get to heaven, you will see beauty. The kind of thing you can't comprehend right now. Please, live your life like one day that thing is going to happen.